This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We always appreciate your dialing in. We dialed in to Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. And, you know, I was kind of teasing you before we put you on here. I said only Tom could ask the question, how nice should you be at work? But I think I know what you're talking about, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Always good to be with you, John. Thanks for the warm welcome.
I will say, well, but I think there's a measure of aggressiveness and competitiveness that is not a thing to hide necessarily in a workplace either.
You know, I remember working with somebody years ago, and the person was described as they could beat you up with a towel and a bar of soap, and you'd say thank you when you left. That was a wonderful meeting. And I think that there's people that can give you really direct and honest feedback and have you realize that it's really benefiting you. And it's too often that where we're at in society now is that constructive criticism is only viewed as criticism and not constructive. And the ability to deliver really authentic feedback in a nice way is good. It's how you should be.
You know, I think a lot of us are right now cataloging in our minds, maybe you should, if as you listen to Tom here, think about that instance where somebody kind of gave you a kick in the butt and you appreciated it, if not right away, eventually, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's very similar that no one wants to be told you didn't do something well. At the same time, we usually know when we didn't give it our all. And whether it was when we were in high school or college or as a kid to our parents or whatever it was, those things don't change when you get into the workplace. We know whether we gave it our all. We know how much time we put into it. And the majority of time, people can tell. And it's about getting the real feedback and do you want to be better? And most people say they want to be challenged, but they say that and they mean that they want to be challenged when they're ready for it, when they want to. Well, when we're delivering something, it's not always on our time frame. And the best managers, they give direct feedback, and you can do it in a nice way, but you got to give it, got to be direct, or people don't know.
Okay, but if you're the manager, it doesn't mean that you need to be obnoxious or standoffish per se. If in fact people are delivering, you can be positive to them about that. You should be positive about that, right?
You should compliment people when it's appropriate, and you should give them, you know, if you want to call it negative feedback or areas of improvement. You know, the fact that we have to say it's not a negative, it's areas of improvement, shows how soft we are as human beings. And I mean that genuinely. You know, I know companies, John, that they don't call sales calls, they call them marketing calls, because they can't handle the word sales. They think it's some used car salesman, that's a bad thing. And in fact, we have to tell people what the expectations are when they start a job, and then hold them accountable to delivering them. And then talk about why they're not. And that's called improvement. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. And I think the interesting thing is people are pretty quick when it's on a consumer level to want to credit the waiter wasn't good or fast enough, or it was too slow. The cleaning person didn't do their job. The landscaper didn't. The person at Walgreens didn't check me out fast enough. But when it's them, we lack the perspective to call ourselves out.
One last thing. Is this part and parcel with bosses keeping some social distance from employees? You know, you don't want to be their buddies because you're their supervisor. And so,
no, I don't, I'm not buying that one, John. I think that if people are respectful of the relationship, that I know tons of friends that have managed friends. I do it, quite frankly. And the key is do you have people who respect your position, and do you respect what people are doing, and can you call people out in a healthy way? And some people are audio learners, and they can hear it by your voice. Others need visuals, and you need to do that. What you can't do as a manager is take for granted that someone's your friend, so they're going to do it exactly how you want them. You still need to manage them.
One last note here. One of our listeners just texted in and said, a good example of what Tom is talking about is American Idol. Contestants accept feedback from the judges because it will be helpful. I think that's true. Simon Cowell, when he was on that show, I think was kind of, if not loved, much respected, because he told them flat out, here's what was good, here's what was bad. And Tom is...
The difference is that in corporate America, John,
yeah,
a lot of managers, they lead with fear of turnover. And because people can be very sensitive, they don't want to give direct feedback because it's hard to find people sometimes. And they're afraid that if they give direct feedback, employees will quit. And employees, if they want to really grow, they need to tell their manager. And I've seen a lot of people who do this, say, give me the direct feedback. I want it. Like, if you really want to grow, tell your boss, take off the kid gloves, and talk to me like I'm an adult so I can improve. It's a two-way street, and managers should be able to do it, but employees need to ask.
We got to wrap this up, but I would ask you then, maybe next time we visit with you, have you seen the Matt Damon viral video where he talks about the fear of turnover in education and in acting and in work? It's just Google that. Matt Damon.
Yeah, I'll Google that for next week.
And I'd like your take on that, okay?
Absolutely.
That's Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. You may have seen an editorial in the Tribune, or pardon me, in the Sun-Times, back to school assignment for Chicago. Go all out on high dosage tutoring. They said that there's one area where CPS has begun to find answers, undoing the learning loss from the pandemic by getting thousands of students into what experts call high dosage tutoring. And in fact, there is something called Tutoring Chicago, which is looking for more folks to help these students, and it does make a difference. Sandy Merrick is its executive director. Hi, Sandy. You're on WGN.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So are you a for-profit tutoring agency? We're familiar with some of those. Or are you something different?
Tutoring Chicago is a nonprofit organization, and we provide free tutoring, one-to-one tutoring, to more than 1,100 Chicago students a year. We've been around for about 60 years, and John, we are the best-kept secret in Chicago.
I'm glad you're telling me about this, because that's true. I don't think I knew that you did what you do. Who does the tutoring? Who do you coordinate to work with the kids, and how and where?
So we have all of our tutors are volunteer tutors. And we have three locations in Chicago. We have one in Lincoln Park, one on the west side, and we actually just are expanding to a third site on the south side of Chicago. And like I said, all our volunteers are tutors. All our tutors are volunteers. And we are looking for tutors ages 18 and above who want to make a difference in a student's life and can make a weekly 90-minute commitment to the tutoring. There's no experience needed. We provide all the training, the curriculum, the lesson plans. And, you know, John, I'm fairly new to the organization, and I'm actually going to tutor this year. And I, to be honest, I was a little nervous. I'm like, I haven't done math in a while. Like, can I do this? And when I saw the resources that we provide the tutors and the support, I'm like, okay, I got this. So I'm really excited about it.
What subjects do you all tutor in?
Well, we have math, we have reading, and, you know, some of our tutors have been with their students for 4 or 5 years in a row. So it's like, you know, an amazing experience for the tutors. And we actually do a little bit of customizing based on, you know, their learning skills because they've been with them for so long. I was just sitting with one of our tutors. And he was showing me pictures of him with his student and a letter that his mom, the student's mom, had written on what an impact he'd made. And so it is, you know, yes, it is about the student, and we're giving, you know, great resources for the students, but the tutors get so much out of it as well, and it's so rewarding. And so I really highly encourage folks to check out our website. We're at tutoringchicago.org. To see if they, you know, want to volunteer. We'd love to have them.
Do you do it over the internet too? Do you do Zoom tutoring, or is it always in person?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jen. We're in person and we do Zoom tutoring. So it's about half and half do in person and half do tutoring as well, online tutoring.
Can you give me some numbers that support the efficacy, the results of this?
Well, like I said, we have seen the students' reading improve, their math skills improve, and actually, as well as their self-confidence, which, you know, is super important as well.
Producer Pete found some stats. It says here 82% of your tutoring students grades 1 through 8 demonstrated growth in math skills, demonstrable growth in math 82%, 87% to 4 through 8 demonstrable growth in vocabulary proficiency, and the numbers go on, 96% in literacy, 80% 9th grade tutoring Chicago students increased their reading grade or achieved an 85% grade average in school. One last question then, who are these kids or parents? Where are they from? Describe them to me briefly.
Well, all the students are Chicago students, and we focus on serving the Chicago families that couldn't afford tutoring otherwise.
Do the tutors have to be from Chicago?
Nope, they do not. Especially if they're doing the Zoom, they can be from anywhere they want.
And I need not have taught in the past. I don't need to be an education major or have a teacher certificate.
You don't have to have any education background. We will train you and give you all the materials that you need to succeed.
Okay, go to this website. Let's do this, tutoringchicago.org. Sandy Merrick is its executive director. Check back in with us, Sandy. Let's see if we get a response. We've got a lot of helpful listeners out there, and let us know how the school year goes as you move along.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me, John.
Okay, Sandy, tutoringchicago.org. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. John Williams here. Shondell Newsom joins us now, co-chair of the Small Business for America's Future organization. Shondell, it's John, and thanks for saying hello. How are you?
Glad to be here, John.
Let's talk a little bit about this National Small Business Survey, which is pretty good, right? I mean, there's some optimism in this report, correct?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we do is we survey our small businesses around the country. You know, we're committed to ensuring policymakers prioritize small businesses, and that creates an economy that works for them. So, you know, we just recently spoke to 961 small business owners about the economy and how the impact of the Inflation Reduction Act.
So that's interesting because the president was touting it this past week, or was it earlier this week? Recently, he's been talking about it on its one-year anniversary. And needless to say, Republicans say bad things about it and Democrats say good things about it. I'm maybe most interested in what small business people say about it. How has it impacted small businesses?
Well, the small business party speaks this time, and more than half of the respondents believe that the Inflation Reduction Act has been beneficial to small businesses. And about 63% of those from the survey acknowledge that the government spending and investments, including the act, have contributed to positive economic momentum. So I always tell people I'm part of the small business party, John.
Well, I wonder what some of the specifics are, like in what ways or what kind of businesses are we talking about?
Well, you're talking more about mainstream, what we call, some people might call mom and pop. Some of us have employees. No, many of us don't. But, one of the things that I'm always talking about is the fact that, we are very close to our employees. So things that like lowering prescription drugs is a big deal to a lot, not only to our employees, but some of their parents and grandparents. But also the improvement to the IRS. You know, the IRS is a bad word to many people, but they're doing the improvements to staffing and some of the systems by making that investment have helped us out. And, you know, recently we got the employee retention tax credits. A lot of our small businesses got that from the recent pandemic. And so, you know, it helps us out when the process works better with the IRS.
Most believe the IRS needs to improve and support funds to do so. I don't know if those are different things. Maybe the IRS does need to improve, but I think a lot of people did not like the idea that more funding would go to the IRS, which would mean more IRS agents, which would mean cracking down on people's taxes. Maybe tax cheats, but maybe not. Can you just give me a little more perspective on that? What are you all saying about the IRS?
Well, we just feel like if you're doing the right thing, you know, there's no cracking down on us. We're looking at the fact that when back in the day, you used to sit on the phone forever and wait for somebody to answer the phone. So we believe that the investment into systems or into people where we can get a phone call and we can talk to a live person is really a big deal. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think in 1 year they're going to improve drastically. But I've seen some moderate improvements from our company perspective and a lot of the small businesses that I talk to.
Talk about prescription drug prices and how small business employers or employees are managing that.
So, you know, we really don't manage it as much as we are really engaged with our employees on in many ways, and we get very creative. You know, most of us always still have a challenge with health care and providing health care benefits because of the cost of health care and sometimes the cost of prescription drugs. But, you know, our employees, when they have the ability to go to a pharmacy and pay reduced prices and pay less, it makes them feel better about coming to work and earning a paycheck and it's not being eaten up by some of the prescription drug prices.
Did the Inflation Reduction Act touch that or address that in some way?
Yeah, you know, by reducing the prices, you know, most of us, in fact, 78% of our survey participants support the ACT measures to allow Medicare to negotiate lower prescription drug prices, with 61% of those folks strongly supporting it. When you can negotiate lower drug prices, that makes a big deal. And in some cases, that kicked over to some of our private insurances as well.
So this is the National Small Business Survey. How do you define a small business? What size employers are we talking about, Shondell?
Well, you know, unlike the SBA defines it as 500 or less, we all know that most of the small businesses are less than 25 employees. And in some cases, like I said, there's some solo shops. But we define it as those main street, those very small micro businesses in most cases, because most micro businesses are the ones that we represent. But we represent anybody in that small business category as the SBA defines it, because we do have larger small business owners. But the majority of the folks we talk to are very, very small micro businesses.
Yeah, when I think of some of the towns in Chicagoland or some of even the neighborhoods in the city, you see so many of the coffee shop on my corner and then the candy shop next to that and then the dry cleaner next to that. I'll bet none of those three businesses, which are really important to my block, I'll bet none of them have more than 10 employees. I'll bet they don't have 25 employees, that's for sure. None of them are in manufacturing, mind you, but I mean, that's where my money goes. That's retail heavy.
Yeah, and I'm the same way, John. I go to my local coffee shop, my local dry cleaner, my pet groomer, right? I got a pet groomer who's a very, very small business. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about being a part of Small Business for America's Future is we get to speak for those people. Most of those people are working in their business. They're right there at the shop. They greet you at the door. So we become that voice, and this survey becomes their voice to provide input and provide feedback to all the administration.
Shondell, I'm out of time, but what's the name of your pet that you get groomed?
Tiana. Tiana goes to the groomer like she's going for a pedicure or something.
You have a princess there, don't you, sir?
Man, a pampered princess. Pampered for sure.
Shondell Newsom is the co-chair of the Small Business for America's Future organization. You can read their report, by the way, and it goes in some detail about all of this if you click on smallbusinessforamericasfuture.org. Shondell, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, John, for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate you.
More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Illinois Center office complex is losing one of its largest tenants. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says it will move out of the building when its lease is up in November. The agency's moving its workers into space at federally owned buildings on Dearborn and Jackson. According to Cranes, HHS occupied 170,000 square feet in Illinois Center at 233 North Michigan. It's been there since 1999. The agency's departure will lower the building's occupancy to just 48%. UChicago Medicine and Advent Health will discontinue birthing services at Glen Oaks Hospital in Glendale Heights. The providers cite low demand as the reason, continuing a trend by other Illinois providers to cut or change obstetric services. Glen Oaks currently operates a 15-bed obstetrics unit and level 1 nursery. The facility will continue to offer outpatient obstetrics-related services and inpatient gynecology services. The hospital saw a 32% drop in births in 2021. I'm Steve Gratanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. On the food calendar, National Bow Day.
It sure is.
Jeff Alexander is CEO of a Chicago company that put the wow in bow 20 years ago. We will hear from him after I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring us. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Wow Bow, part of the Lettuce Entertainment Group, has taken an ancient Chinese dumpling and made it Chicago's very own. And it started as a taste test with the boss.
Yeah, it's a great story. Back in 1999, we have another concept here in Chicago called Big Bowl. And in one of the tastings we did for Rich Melman, the founder of Lettuce Entertain You, we did a tasting of Bao as an appetizer for Big Bowl. And Rich sort of paused and said, you know, we could do a whole concept just selling these buns.
And a few years later, the first Wow Bao brick and mortar happened.
At the Chicago's iconic Water Tower Place.
But Wow Bao's phenomenal growth to more than 7,000 outlets was not driven by standalone brick and mortars. It was partnerships with other restaurants that had what he calls dark kitchens.
And we call it dark kitchens because we believe that all these restaurants have an area that is underutilized space where literally it is dark. And we can help turn the lights back on.
It sure paid off during COVID.
And we're very proud of the fact that we've helped restaurants survive, pay rents, pay their employees during this really difficult time, and really made us become iconic across the United States.
And part of their appeal and beauty is the simplicity.
And it's portable. I mean, that's the great thing about it. You need no napkins, no silverware, no sauce. You just pick it up and eat it, and it could not be more enjoyable and easy. We've also Americanized some of the flavors. While we have our traditional chicken teriyaki barbecue pork, our cheeseburger is extremely popular. We have a sausage pepperoni pizza flavor. We do an apple cinnamon. I mean, we have breakfast bao with egg, bacon, and cheese.
Wow Bao embraced digital early on. In fact, it had an app before apps were really a thing.
We were on iPhone 3 at the time, and we had an app, and we had desktop ordering back in the day before anyone else did.
And the latest way to buy a steaming hot bao?
We have over 250 hot food vending machines that are deployed across the country right now. From the machine, it's 32 seconds cook time, and out comes piping hot bao. I mean, the opportunity for that is really, it's boundless. And I spell boundless, B-A-O.
Okay, and you can order frozen bao on Amazon. And this weekend,
Saturday the 26th, we are going to launch in 3,000 Walmarts with our frozen product.
Jeff Alexander, CEO of Wow Bao. Happy 20th.
Thank you. You enjoy your National Bao Day.
I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
National Waffle Day, as you know, is right around the corner. Lawrence Kramer is the co-owner of Chicago Waffles. .com's their website. Hey, Lawrence, it's John Williams. How are you?
Good. How are you, John? Thank you for having me on.
So you guys are in Chicago and elsewhere. How many locations are there, or is it just in the city?
So we have four locations. We have two main in the city, one in the South Loop, 1400 South Michigan, another one, 1104 West Madison Street in the West Loop. And then our two most recent ones actually opened within the last year, one in Oak Park, 726 Lake Street in Oak Park, and then our fourth one, most recent one, out in Willowbrook off Kingery Highway.
Yeah, actually, I'm just looking at the rundown. So this is a Chicago institution then, huh?
Correct, yeah. We opened the first one in 2011 in the South Loop, so that's our first location. Then the second one opened in 2017 and kind of just had some opportunities to open a couple more within the last year in those other two locations.
So is it just waffles there? Do you do pancakes, eggs? Is it a breakfast joint? Tell us about your menu.
Yeah, we do everything. So we are, like in the name, we are known for our waffles. We have 17 different waffle options, but we do serve pancakes. We serve omelets, skillets, bennies. We have a whole lunch menu as well. So we have a wide variety of options for people from breakfast to brunch. And then we also serve cocktails at all of our locations as well. So people can come in, get waffles, and get a margarita if they would like as well.
National Waffle Day is August 24th. You're doing a free half waffle with any purchase, even including coffee or juice. Free half waffles at the new suburban locations in Willowbrook and Oak Park. What's your secret sauce? Why are your waffles different, or why did you go into the waffle business?
Well, we've always had a passion about being family-run. We've had a passion about being in the restaurant business, and waffles are kind of a thing that inspired us to open these locations. Our waffles are all homemade. Our batter is all made every week at each location. Our chefs have their own special recipe. Even our whipped cream, our whipped butter is made at home at our restaurants. Our bacon and chicken waffle is kind of one of our special recipes. That is what we're really known for. In Oak Park and Willowbrook specifically, we have two specials involving the bacon and chicken waffle with boundless coffee for $7.99. So everything that we do, even that's sometimes not even our waffles, a lot of our dishes are homemade. We have our own special recipes. So our waffles are special in that regard. They're very crispy, very warm, fluffy as well. So we have a lot of different options for people to try from our waffles.
So two plus now two. Are you expanding more? What's the future for your business?
We hope so. I mean, we within last year, like I said, we opened those two locations in Willowbrook and Oak Park. The goal is to continue to expand. We're looking at several other locations as well. But right now we're focusing on the four locations that we have. All four are doing fantastic. And like you mentioned, we have the two specials upcoming up in Oak Park and Willowbrook for National Waffle Day, where with any meal people order on Thursday, they'll get a half waffle for free. We have different specials as well throughout the week where kids eat for free between 12 and 2 from the kids menu. So we're really trying to promote those two locations, and potentially if options open up in the future, expand to different spots around the city or in the suburban areas as well.
National Waffle Day is Thursday. Any day is good, especially this week, a day for waffles, though. They've got locations in Chicago and in the suburbs now, Oak Park and Willowbrook, along with the original locations in the West Loop on Madison and the South Loop on Michigan Avenue downtown. Hey, good luck to you, Lawrence. Thanks for the heads up. It sounds delicious.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. Have a great rest of your day.
Lawrence Kramer is the co-owner, ChicagoWaffles.com, to find out more.